It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great is our God. Think about these words. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great is our God. Think about it. The breath that we breathe, that people today are even fighting to do, was breathed into us by the Spirit of the living, true God. Is he worthy of praise?
Yes.
Is he worthy of praise? You think he's worthy of praise? Then you ought to really get into this one.
You are. Hallelujah.
Christ the sacrifice he gave for us to have eternal life. For us to do this, come together. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
About to take place. Father, right now we thank you in the name of Jesus again that this is the opportunity in which we give. We've already given our praises with our lips, but this is where we give with our true hearts, because you say where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. So Lord, we pray as we sow into your kingdom that we're not sowing seeds, reaping a harvest for ourselves, but we're sowing into your kingdom so that it may be advanced and go forward in this earth. Bless those who have to give. You've already blessed us all, whether we have it or not. And we're just careful to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's also First Sunday. That's what I was really ready for. Communion. I'm just going to be honest, tell the truth to the church, because I missed communion. I went to church and got communion. I was giving communion to myself at home, you know, doing it with the good doctor and other people. But when I found out that my old home church was meeting, I slid up in there to get communion. I needed to feast with the people. But this first Sunday, we get to do it together. So in preparation, you can have a seat if you want. You can stand if you want. I don't. It doesn't matter. We have our deacons come and pass the emblems. In the early church, the main reason they came together was this. It's communion. Yeah, somebody might have wrote a letter, Paul, Jude, somebody might have sent a letter. But the reality of it, the main reason they came together was to remember. To remember what had been done for them. I mean, you got to think of their situation. They were under Roman oppression. They were being literally burned alive for their belief in Christ, pursued by their own family members for turning away from Judaism and going and following Jesus. Got hard for them. Got tough for them. Some of them were sitting in jail because of it. James had his head cut off. Because of it. So when they were apart, they had to come together to remember why it was all worth it. Why living under Roman rule, as cruel as it can be, and facing possible death was worth it. So as the apostles would remind them that on the night that he was to be arrested, falsely accused, the most tore up injustice of all trial ever, a totally innocent man reminded them that what was about to happen had a purpose. It was instituting a new covenant. And so he took the bread while they were dining and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take and eat. My body that is broken for you." And a little while on, he took a cup and he said, "This is my blood to shed for you, the blood of a new covenant, a new way, a new command. You no longer enter the kingdom by the blood of bulls and goats or by belief, but you enter the kingdom by the blood of our Savior." Take and drink. Remember. Remember. And as you remember, remember that he is not only our Savior, but he's more than enough.
Thank you. When we would talk, obviously, if we pushed one, he would know he was out. We were out there. But then there were so many others that didn't push one, and just knowing it is very different than seeing everyone. So this is just so wonderful. And welcome. And Pastor's sermon today, or subject for sermon, will be glad to be in the service. And he's asked me to just read two very short verses, Psalm 122, verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, okay? And I think when I read these, you're going to understand why he asked me to read these particular verses. And it is written, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Indeed, we are blessed. As I just read, here we are back in the house of the Lord. This is a joyous moment in time. We are making Runner for Christ ministry history today. Okay. Do any of you have friends who you've been close to for years, but that you don't get to see or even speak to for long periods of time? I bet everyone does. But when you speak again, it's like you don't miss a beat. Well, I feel like that, even though most of us have not seen each other in over a year. It's been about 15 or 16 months. I feel like I am just as close to each of you as if we have not missed a Sunday. Do you feel that way too? I knew it. And of course, we have all been blessed to speak to God on any day at any time we want. He is the one who has knitted our hearts together. And he has signed one to keep this little family together in the form of Pastor O. I said this yesterday on Blog Talk, but it bears repeating this morning. Luke 11:28 records that Jesus said, "Even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." That makes you a doer of the word. And Pastor O, we find one who takes seriously his charge as pastor, preacher, and teacher. He prepares diligently in constant communication with God through the Holy Spirit to feed us, the sheep, assigned to this body of believers. Thank you, Pastor O, for your prayers and covering us. Being a force field is not easy. As we know, you take some hits that the enemy means for us. I've been hearing about some of those. Some of those he's brought up. He lost a tooth. I think it was a couple weeks ago. And then he got food poisoning, I guess, in the last week. And so I know, Pastor O, you've taken some hits, but that's what a shepherd does, right? Sheep have a purpose, okay? They got to be fed. And then we know they kind of get their, you know, they get that little shaving. As sheep, we have a purpose too. So we thank you that you're willing to stand in the gap for us and cover us as God has instructed you to. So if you all are ready to hear more from this one who stands in the gap for us, repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. I want y'all to know I'm fully vaccinated. So as I'm walking down this aisle, getting COVID all over the place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Plenty of COVID for everybody. Everybody gets the COVID. Amen. Let's come on around again. Praise God. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Lord, you've been good and you've been faithful to us since March 15th of 2020. We've not been able to be here. But you brought us back. It says that the children of Israel were taken away and then brought back. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to be in your house again. And as our praise team and leader, Pastor Janet Tate, try to rouse a praise in us, Father, because we've been through something. We've been troubled on every hand. But we know, Heavenly Father, that here at Runner for Christ Ministry, there is a teaching priesthood. And so that the members have not gone without the word, but you've been faithful. And you brought them the word, and you brought them classes as if we were right here. So I thank you for that. But it's good to be home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Bless my ears. So I hear your word today. Bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, not like yours, but I'm here today to be transformed by your word so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now watch me empty the church out.
And
you know, well, y'all know I always cough, right? That's a given. I was coughing before COVID, so this ain't brand new. Amen. And it ain't no COVID cough. Amen, because I got too many things going on the inside that I'd be gone. But today I just want to talk to you for a little bit from this subject. Glad to be in the service. Amen. Glad to be in the service for as I said in my prayer, the Lord has kept us out. And some troubles about COVID and understanding it and fears that we had that we may get infected. And so I guess we stayed out until people got a little bit comfortable. But there comes a time when you take a look at what's going on in the world and you see that America is a hard-headed country. So we might be in this situation a long time. The Lord told me back in March, or I think it was April, and I told Sheila, if we're going back to church in August, ready or not, here we come. Amen? And then right after that, they had a surge. And right before we came back in here, another surge. The Delta variant is on the wild. But I don't want us to mistake this or miss this. The Lord did or allowed this. And if the church comes back doing what it did before, see, because we like to thank God doing something to the world. Amen? But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 clears that up, or chapter 5. God's not talking about people in the world. He's talking about people who call themselves Christians, but are acting everything other than a Christian. And we were doing church, and he wasn't upset how we were doing church, but we wasn't doing no work outside these walls. Every Wednesday, fourth Wednesday, I love it. We come up here and we get out in front of the church, set up a little table, because believe it or not, if we set up right back there, nobody will come in the church. But when we set out there, one after another, after another, after another, we give away about 72 lunches and Bibles and things. But what the people want most is prayer. And I can't tell you how many people have rededicated their life to Christ. Amen. That amazes me. And I'm thinking to myself, if all these people are coming here and you say you want lunch, you want a Bible, they say, can you pray for me? They don't want the free stuff first. They seek prayer. And we're talking about young adults. We're talking about Eric, no, because Eric the one got me hooked up in it. You're talking about young adults. You're talking about older folks. They are coming out and they want prayer. That tells me that we're not present in the culture. If you'll allow me to say it the way Tony Evans do, we ain't out there. Amen. So they're literally coming here to get prayer. They're literally coming here. One of my friends, Jerry Stamp, some of y'all might know him. I've been trying to get him for years to come to Jesus. But he just say, girl. You know how he talk, right? That's Stamp. Amen. So Stamp wouldn't come near Jesus. But one day we were out there, and I saw him pulling up in his county truck, and he stopped. And I said, I know that guy. And Sister Minister Shelley went over to him, went over to his truck, and he didn't want anything other than a Bible. And he wanted prayer. And she came back up with a face full of tears. I know when she, at least has been there, I know when he comes back, when she comes back with a face full of tears, somebody gave their life to Christ. Somebody rededicated. We've been dealing with people with carloads of kids, and they want Jesus. And they want Jesus in the life of them kids. So God allowed the church to shut down for a while. And you can say he didn't do it, but only God is worldwide. Amen? Only the Lord can do something worldwide. So he shut it down. Sometimes you have to take something away from somebody so they can learn to value what they have. Amen? We used to come to church late. We didn't come if my toe hurt, or my toe might hurt. I ain't going today. I think I got a cold. I could be coming down. I ain't going today. But when you can't go, I can't tell you how many people kept asking me, when y'all coming back? I'm ready to come back to service. I'm like, for real? Amen. And that's awesome. That God, that let me know that the Lord held it out until people recognized what they were missing. As Janet said, this is awesome for us to come together and feed each other, to talk with each other about what we've been going through. to commiserate with each other, to pray with and for each other. Amen. No one, Lisa. Amen. Exactly right. Let me open up my force field. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Amen. But we were locked out, and we couldn't come if we wanted to. We could have came, but it would have been suicidal, you know. And we need to pray for some of our brothers and sisters in church because they suffer. Some of the mega churches are really suffering. People have gotten used to Blog Talk Radio. Hey, Blog Talk Radio listeners, love every one of you. No slight towards you. I thank you for listening and tuning in. Amen. But we've gotten used to that because you can be in your pajamas. Amen. You could be cooking. You could be like Eric drinking pop with ice in it, and you can even hear it sizzling. Amen. And then he say, "It ain't me. It ain't me." Well, Mother Overall, her other phone will ring, and she answered. Well, see you. Amen. Well, we got used to that. Amen. But then the background noise. Oh, Lord have mercy. And we stand from every single service. Mute your phone unless you're talking. They don't. And then they start talking in the service. But, amen. But we got used to it. And that was a way that we could at least hear each other. Then we tried Zoom, but like Janice said, you couldn't see nothing but this, right? And there's nothing like this. You know, some say that passage spoke to the children of Israel when they were coming out of exile. And Ezra, I think we're reading about that right now in the book of Ezra, when Zerubbabel went back, and then Ezra went back, and Artaxerxes funded the rebuilding of the temple for the children of Israel. And they had been out for 70 years. Now, the Lord didn't sentence them to 70 years in captivity in Babylon, but he said Babylon had 70 years, and it was out. And when those 70 years came to an end, Daniel was still alive. And so Zerubbabel and some of Ezra and some of these others went back to begin rebuilding the temple. Of course, they faced some trouble from the haters. Amen. The haters are going to always show up. But once they got the foundation laid, some of the older folks, though, they was kind of sad. Then as they say, this temple don't look like Solomon's temple. And we sad. Is this what's up now? Okay. We used to have a big old glorious temple. Now we got leftovers. Amen. But they were glad to be back at church. Because I think one of the writers said, how can we praise God in a situation like this? How can we praise God in a situation like this, where the world is now, where everything seems to be so hard, and you start up something and then you got to set it down again? Our government crazy. They don't know what to do. Amen. And America is puffed up, elitist, and love to do whatever they want to do. And say, I got a right to die, but you ain't got a right to kill me. Amen. You want to shoot yourself, just aim it right at you. Don't be aiming at me. Amen. I don't even want your blood on me. Don't be popping yourself and all your blood flat all over me. You don't have a right to blood me up. You do what you want with yourself, but not me. Amen. So the children of Israel, on that trek back to Jerusalem, it is said that they were singing and they were praising, because think about it, for Israel today, they have no temple. So if a temple, but the temple that they really want to worship God at won't come back into creation until the tribulation period. Kind of a bad time for that to happen. But they still going to be happy about it for a minute. But imagine the children of Israel, like us. We've not been here since March 15 of 2020. Okay? And some folks really missed church. I can't tell you how many people tell me that it's nothing like being there. And folks' faith were going through the roof. It was building up. And right when that started is when the Lord said to me, you're going back in August. I got happy then. Okay, if I wasn't sick, I'd have been back there shoving. Amen. But talking makes me hurt. So, amen. But I cannot thank God enough for being here in the house. Now, some say that the singing and the praising, we're glad to be here. Look, we're all here. We've been kept out. They talked about as they were going up the 15 steps that led up to the temple, that the singers, Obed Edom, y'all remember him? Okay, and Asaph and all of them, they were the ones in charge of praise and worship service. And we found out how important praise and worship is. Amen. It is a part of the service that God set up before the word comes to get people in a situation where they're ready to receive the Lord. And I love how Janice passion, when we sitting there like, well, I'm here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We ought to have a little bit more appreciation for what the Lord has done, and we ought to use the emotions he gave us to express that. And there's nothing wrong with that. So as they were going up into the temple, they were glad, and they demonstrated their gladness by singing, by praising, like David when he danced all the way out his clothes. Amen. He gave God a hard praise. When you recognize what God has been doing in your life, you'll sing on the way to church. When you recognize that even though there's been a pandemic, he's still been progressing you, protecting you, taking care of you, providing for you, you haven't missed a thing. How many people have missed a meal? Amen. How many people missed a house note? How many people missed a car note? Not because you just derelict, but because you just didn't have money. Amen. No matter what has happened in our economy, what has happened in the world, the Lord has kept us. God wants us to shine. Terrence preached a sermon on Blog Talk talking about, amen, let your light shine. Said it a million times. Let your light shine. I wouldn't put a light bulb on my head to get him to stop saying it, but he said, amen, let your light shine. The world needs to recognize that God's people actually know what's going on. God's people know what we've been through. And so we sing. We give God a hearty praise because we don't take lightly what the Lord has done for us. We appreciate it, and we show our appreciation through praise. We show our appreciation through worship. Worship simply says we value God's worship. So we worship no matter what. Paul and Silas valued God's worship. They refused to not praise God, even though they were in a Philippian jail. Even though they had been beaten, even though they were fastened, feet fastened in the stocks and hands chained to the walls and left to be rat food. Amen. They sang praises, James, to God at midnight. God's been blessing James. Been blessing James out there, that whole family back there. I'll be paying attention. I see what the Lord is doing, raising him up and raising her up. Amen? In a pandemic. So it's not like the Lord has not been good to us. So as we take them 15 steps up into God's house, we praise the Lord. And then there's another theologian who says that the only one I'm going to believe is that it was one of those three times that the children of Israel were supposed to come and present themselves before the Lord. And that really is the only thought on this subject that can be backed up by Scripture. Because we know the word says, three times you shall appear before me, spring, summer, and fall. Amen? And give praises to God. Three times a year they were supposed to do that. And so when it came time to go, they were excited about it. They were glad to be going because they live wherever they live, but God has set Jerusalem as the place of worship. We can worship wherever we want to worship, right? But this is the place that God has given the running for Christ ministries. So I can be happy. I've been to other services. I've had to do funerals. I haven't done any weddings, but just funerals, mostly funerals. And what's sad is I shared it with y'all, and I need all y'all to pray and pray real hard. One of our relatives on my mother's side of the family, on the Maddox side, is Piper Burks. You might know her, her nephew. Okay, in his 20s or early 30s, he's in the hospital because he refused to get vaccinated. He didn't believe in it, so he didn't get it. And now he's dying. He's literally dying. And she was on Facebook this morning begging for prayer from the church. Amen, because only God can help him now. You don't know. COVID can get anybody. And you don't know. Even the folks who've been vaccinated can still, amen, can still be infected. Now, they won't get super sick or go to the hospital and die, but they know now that you might be able to pass it to somebody else. Amen? So we need to pray. We need to pray that God protect, God keep, and he has. I thank the Lord this morning that none of y'all died. Not one member of Running for Christ Ministries died. Now, some got infected, but God healed them. Amen? So I thank the Lord for that. And that ought to show us something, church, is what Janice was talking about. We need to demonstrate faith. We need to demonstrate faith. So on one of those three times that they were going up, they were glad to go up because they recognized how long they had been kept from it. And they love to be in the service. And so, amen, the psalmist pinned that down. I was glad for us to go up to Jerusalem so that we could worship the Lord as a company, as folks together, and praise God and thank God. I mean, if you think back to March 2020, think of all you've been through. Think of everything you had to face. Think of how many loved ones or friends or family who died because COVID took them out. Amen. I was talking to one of our members this morning. They can't even get out of the house. Neither one has been vaccinated. They don't believe in it. And now one has super arthritis and can't walk 5, 6, 7 good steps. See, they wanted to come this morning, though. Okay? And if they could get here and be in the service, they would be glad to be in the service. So we should be glad to be in the service. We should be glad to hear sermons again from the past. You should be glad to see the snake walk. Amen. See, if I talk to y'all, can't see the snake walk. You might have to come to the church. Amen. Okay, wait till I get to where I can clown some more. I mean, it's something to jump up in my office and start snake walking. Seem to be in there. Ain't nobody see you. Amen. Amen. You know, or the bum rush. You know, like they did Stephen when they grabbed Stephen, dragged him off in the court. He was bum rush. I have been through some of everything. These last 3-4 weeks have been unreal. I mean, the devil had just been attacking and attacking and attacking. But every time he attacked, the Lord didn't pass that. And every time he attacked, I mean, literally, the devil ain't knocked my tooth out. I was doing a YouTube video, so I got into that now. And I know my racing truck, the steering wheel in it, has to come off with two hands because you push a button, then you pull it off. I did it with one, and it came off. Snap! Oh, man. And I thought that was the end. Then yesterday, well, Saturday morning about 1 a.m., I woke up with food poison. I went to get me some fish. And the food poisoned me. I don't know if you got me, sir. They got me. I don't know if you've ever been through that, but Lord have mercy. It felt like the devil done jumped inside my body, took my stomach, and was twisting it. Just twisting it. And it stayed like that all night. My neighbor, he was weed whacking. 8 o'clock in the morning, it was funny at first, because he'd get out there, turn his weed whacker on kill, and keep it like that till he finished. Anyway, weed whacked a rocket through the window of my race truck. He came up to me, Marcus, you know what he said? He said, if I did it, if you think I did it, I'll pay for it. He said, you don't think I did it when I was weed whacking, do you? Do you think you did it when you was weed whacking? You know? And that's just a couple things. It was just one attack after another. And it was either that sermon series I was preaching, Living a New Life, or it was either he didn't want us back here. And he wanted me to perceive that as God is saying, no, too much going wrong. But that's my life. What did I got to do with Lisa? What did I got to do with my little brother? She been through some stuff too. Amen. All of us been through some stuff. And we should be glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because he can stop us anytime. So what we have to do to prevent being locked out again, so we can be glad to come into the house of the Lord, what we have to learn to do is start being lights out there.
Yeah.
It's all right. I know you're a Christian. I know you love Jesus. But what about your unsaved family members? What about that? What kind of light? Who was that priest that sermon about influences? Somebody, John Mack. He preached about influence, and he talked about the influence. He really dealt with that thing. He broke it down. He talked about how we're influencing people. What kind of influence are we on the people that we work around? I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning. He was talking about Enoch. He was talking about Enoch wasn't no undercover CIA Christian, a covert operator. You know, I don't bother nobody with my Christianity. I just live the life. Amen. Really? Jesus said, you're going to be my witness. That means a witness is verbal.
Yeah.
That means a witness is visible.
Yeah.
Amen. That means you are there to be a witness for Jesus. Amen. We have to stop just being satisfied with being saved and coming to church. Yeah, we should be glad about this. But don't forget the job. Don't forget the mission. Just think three things. Lead somebody to Christ. Teach somebody in Christ. Okay? And help somebody, whether they're in or outside the body of Christ. If you just operate in those three things, then we'll have this whole thing together. This is good. This is wonderful. But since we weren't doing anything, the Lord said, why should we come here? We're not out there. We're not showing nobody no kindness. We're stuck up, judgmental. We tell people, Jesus loves you, but if you don't get perfect right after you get saved, you're going to hell. There ain't none of that true. What's true is Jesus loves you. What's true is he sacrificed himself on the cross for you. What's true is he rose on the third day to save you, to reconcile you back to God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us it is as if God is making his appeal to the world through us. But guess what? He can't do that in here. Amen. The easiest thing to do is to witness to a saved person. Juanita, you know what I'm saying? I see when Juanita sent me them inspirational text messages on my flipper. Amen. I'm getting a smartphone though, Janet. The devil just had me going through so much, I ain't even had a chance to get there. But she sent me these inspirational text messages. But she know I'm a Christian. She ain't asking me, have I accepted Jesus yet? She know I've accepted Jesus. She know living a Christian life ain't no easy life. Be encouraged, Pastor. Like Jim was saying, being in the middle of stuff. Jesus will put you right in the middle of stuff. He will always, like, I didn't know a shepherd had to actually share. I didn't know a shepherd had to die for the sheep. I ain't know except David did. He fought a lion and a bear. Amen. Killed both of them to protect some sheep that wasn't even his. Amen. Amen. When you come up here and get in this pastor spot, Jesus is going to do the same thing to you. You see something coming at the members. But he has been good. The Lord's been good to us running for Christ. Amen. Now, all of us personally go through what we go through, right? But Jesus is working with you on that. And it's all about turning you into who you're going to be forever. Amen? Church is so that you can come here and be instructed on how to live for Jesus out there. And then you go home. If you got kids, you become the pastor of your house. And you said a Bible class. That church ain't got a Bible class, right? Well, you're the church, church body of Christ. Janice had Bible classes at her house. You can have Bible classes at your house. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans one day. He suggested everybody in the church have a Bible class at their house or join a Bible class group. Because we're only here, what? If we're here for Sunday school and service, about 2.5 hours out of 168 hours. Amen? So parents, you have an obligation to carry what you get here and take it out there into your home, to your family, and to your friends. Amen? Search for ways. Ask the Lord to show you ways to reach out to your family, to reach out to children. Amen? Take the opportunity to not live your life, but deny yourself. Take up the cross Jesus gave every one of us, and then follow him. He'll always lead you in the right direction. He'll always lead you to the right people. And pray for the ones who refuse to listen. Amen. You might be the first one to plant a seed. That's all. Don't think because you went up there and gave them that real eloquent speech, they're going to come right into Jesus. Amen. It's not going to happen every time. Nicole will tell you, it take a minute. And then after they come to Jesus, it take another minute. Amen. She'll tell you. She can give you some advice on how to deal with people who got saved but ain't saved living. Amen. So it's glad. I'm glad that we're back. And I thank God we came back on the first Sunday in August. I thank God we came back on Communion Sunday so that we could reconnect with Jesus, so we can remember that we belong to him. And that he looks out for us. He cares for us. He provides everything that we need. So anything that we need to do the work out there, amen, the Lord is going to do his best to provide it in here. Now, it's up to you when you leave here if you're going to go and tell somebody about Jesus, if you're going to look for opportunities to share Christ, amen, because that's what you are. I know we like to say witnessing ain't my strong suit. Well, you need to pray about that because Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. So that means that is something you can get from him. You can say, Jesus, witnessing ain't my strong suit. That ain't what I do. I like to get people pop. That's what I do. Amen? No, witnessing is your strong suit. Now, there's a lot of ways to witness. 1 Thessalonians 4, as I come to a close, he said over there in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, seek to lead what? A quiet life. And then he said, oh, now this one tears us up. We're going to have to pray about this one. Mind your own business. Amen? Amen. We don't know how to do that, though. If we ain't got enough problems, we're going to get other people's problems and try to fix them. Problems in our life is out of control. Amen. But we in somebody else's life trying to fix their problem. And now we got a headache because they won't listen. When listen, they won't listen. And so we get mad. They won't listen. And we go to Jesus. Jesus, give me a way to get to them. Amen. He said, mind your own business. Okay. Work with your own hands. And guess what? You will automatically get the respect of those who are on the outside. And here's the good part. You won't be dependent on anybody. Amen. But you got to live for Jesus on purpose to make that happen. You can't be no happenstance Christian. You can't be, well, if the Lord presents this and do that and jump me through them 12 hoops, then I'll do that. No. Amen. When the church was born in the book of Acts, those people, guess what the Bible says, Janice? It says over there, what is it, 42? They devoted themselves. Church didn't have to beat them to death. Amen. Church didn't have to push them real hard. They devoted themselves to the doctrine or the teaching that Jesus had taught the disciples. And now they're teaching the saved church because 3,000 of them, first church and mega church, 3,000 of them got saved. Okay? And the next thing they did was devote themselves to the Bible class, to the breaking of bread, fellowship and prayer. So all of those things, if they were existed in the first church, this is good. This is what God gave us to get prepared for that. Think about when you leave here, what's happening there. Amen. What's going on after here in church? We're euphoric, right? Everything's on the up and up. We're praising Jesus. But we're coming down from this mountain. And we're going like Jesus when he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration. My real clothes. When we came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my other clothes. When we came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, guess what? The beatific vision ended. And here comes somebody who leeches. I brought my wax out sweater to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing, nothing. Amen. So when we leave here, the Lord is going to test us, each and every one of us as individuals, and he's going to put in front of us an opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, teach somebody in Christ, help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. Amen. Glad to be in the service. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And yes, Lord, we are glad to be here. We're glad to see each other. We're glad. We're learning, Jesus, all over again how to sing together. We're learning how to praise and worship together. We've been away from this and on Blog Talk Radio, separate all over the place. But now we're a collective body right here. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to letting us back in this house. And we pray that nothing happens that prevents us from coming here next Sunday or every other Sunday. So thank you, Father, and bless this word. Bless this word to reach your people. Bless this word to activate your people. You, Jesus, have plowed the field. You have laid the pearls, and you have given us the seed. Let us go out and spread the seed. We know some don't fall on hard ground. We know some going to fall on shallow ground. And we know some going to fall right amongst the thorns. But we know, Jesus, that some going to fall on good soil. So help us to be Johnny Appleseed everywhere we go so that we plant a seed that you can make grow and give increase. In your name we pray and give thanks to you. Amen. Amen. Before I leave, I just want to tell y'all, Bible questions are on the back table. For the class on Thursday, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Tuesday, Wednesday, Lord have mercy. I forgot again. I'm working on it, sis. I'm working on it.
As we are about to depart from this presence, again, it's just good to see all y'all. We know this is the first Sunday in August. Coming up is the first Tuesday in September. That's when school starts again, right? Or whenever it is, you know, after Labor Day. So we're praying in advance for that to happen. Our prayer lives should have increased greatly over the last over a year. You should really be talking to God. None of that, you know, Lord, I'm just thank you. No, Lord, I need you to. We need him to open school. We need wisdom in opening schools. So be praying for our young folks that they can get back into the classrooms and make up the ground that worldwide children have missed out on. Some of us got seniors going back into the classroom. We're going to do a lot of crying next year. But as you're standing to your feet, because you can, don't forget to pray for our mothers, Mother Louisa. Good to see Mother Marilyn, Mother Irma, Mother Persia. Pray for Mother Cheryl and Tyrone. Saw them a couple weeks ago. Pray for them. Continue to pray for the Ecorse, River Rouge, and Southwest Detroit community. You know, we've had a lot of violence, too much of it. And you know every night now we hear a sound that's not firecrackers. So pray for that. Pray for those who are serving in the military and who are being brought home from long distance, because they're going to make some people's jobs a lot harder because of the conditions they're being brought back into. Pray for those who are on the street patrolling the streets as our officers of the law. Pray for all. It's so much. If you didn't find out anything else last year, you realize we got a lot to pray about. The racial, the tension in our nation, that's a direct result of the church not being the church and not addressing her issues within herself. But we had a whole over a year to think about it. So now that we're back and we're leaving out today, I was going to change the song, but I'm just not led to change it. There's only one thing we can do. Not our name, not our church name, not our community name. There's only one name. But if we're going to declare his name, we're not storming the Capitol declaring his name. We're storming the gates of hell declaring his name. And hell ain't as far away as we think. So declare his name.
If you love him, lift your hands and praise. If you love him, stand with us today. If you love him, lift your voice and shout the glory of his name. If you love him, open up your mouth. If you love him, let his praise ring out.
We are not ashamed.
best way to declare the name of Jesus is to do what he said. He said, the new command I give you, love one another. Mm. And that don't mean just church folk. That means everybody. Go show the love of Jesus this week. Wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance, do all that, and look out for these folks here, right? Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.